Number 34.
What you are looking at is a pottery vessel from the Caribbean. It has a very elaborate design for this time period. Often we distinguish between pottery that we believed was used for domestic purposes, which tends not to be very highly decorated, and those that were used for ceremonial purposes, in which case you want to put your best side forward. In some ways, it's like having a party at your house where you either bring out the plain Corel ware or grandma's good china. This vessel is interesting because of the black resin that was coated on the interior. The black resin was often used to protect the interior of the pottery vessel from a liquid that was highly acidic. And we know that in some cases, we don't know this one specifically, but we believe that this resin was used with manioc beer. Manioc beer is a very interesting development in the Caribbean, actually started in South America, in which what you may know as cassava or manioc is first boiled to make it soft, and then the women would actually chew the cassava for a bit, spit it into a large container, and allow it to ferment. And this beer is mildly intoxicating, although some societies drink quarts and quarts of it a day, preferring it to water. And the resin helped protect the pottery from deteriorating with this highly acidic liquid inside of it. So the vessel's important for us because it gives us some indication of the kind of ceremonies that were being performed. It gives us an idea of the kind of plants that were being grown, and also gives a little bit of an insight into the types of ceremonial activities that were probably practiced. I am Bill Keegan. I am curator of Caribbean archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 35.
This is a relatively typical pottery vessel from the late time period in the Dominican Republic. It dates to sometime around 1200 to 1500 AD, prior to the arrival of Europeans. And it was fairly common to decorate the vessels with what we call adornos, which are usually animal or human animal, anthropomorphic or zoomorphic, if you want the terms that we use to sound fancy. And they represent important animals in the belief systems of the native peoples. So the Taino had a special place for frogs. We see frogs represented in shell pendants, in petroglyphs, carvings on the walls of caves, in the pottery vessels. And frogs are a symbol of fertility. And frogs are commonly associated with rainfall. Often they will croak or make noise before it rains or after it rains. In some cases, they become more common as the eggs mature and they become tadpoles and then frogs. And the frog has a very special place because it's associated with the female goddess of fertility, a woman known as Atabera. And she is the representation of what you might call the mother goddess or the giver of life to the Taino peoples. But frogs also show up in sort of smaller form, less elaborate form, indicating their importance. It is often difficult archaeologically to understand what people were thinking. So these kind of representations are sort of our only way into starting to gain an understanding of people's belief systems. I am Bill Keegan. I am curator of Caribbean archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.
Number 36.
Archaeologists often find objects that were not really certain what they were used for. And the first way that we try and understand something is, what does the shape look like? These objects for years have been called stone axes because they look sort of like a hatchet or an axe head. But if you look at the possible uses, the difference between what we call form, how something looks, and function, how it was used, the stone doesn't have the characteristics that we would associate with an axe. It will not hold a really sharp point, and the stone, they're made from basalt, is very heavy. And trying to chop down a tree or cut something with one of these is virtually impossible. So here at the Florida Museum of Natural History, we've been doing some research into what these might actually have been used for. And we now believe that they were used as hoes, digging implements to help prepare gardens. We know the cassava and sweet potato were planted in mounds of earth, and you need some sort of tool to mound up the earth in which to plant the stems and tubers. The heaviness is absolutely perfect for dealing with the very heavy clay soils that you find on many Caribbean islands. And when we began the study, we started to look at hoes that were made in other locations. So, for example, in the Midwestern United States, they make three different shapes of hoes: a rounded bit, a flat bit, and a more axe-like looking bit. And in fact, those are the three shapes that we see with these Caribbean, what were called axes and we're now calling hoes. The other thing about these is that objects often have more than one use. And some of these are just so large and so heavy that it would be almost impossible to use them as hoes, as a useful object. One of the things we know is that societies that engage in exchange will often have an object that they present to their exchange partner as a symbol of how important that individual was. So, for example, if I were to give you a very large, very well-made axe, and then tell you the history of that axe. For example, it was owned by so-and-so, who gave it to so-and-so, who gave it to someone else, and now I'm giving it to you. That gives it a history of its own biography, which increases the value of this object. So while some of the smaller hoes were probably used in gardens, and we look for evidence of that use, digging in the soil will leave scratches, flakes when they hit a rock, and other traces that we can identify microscopically. But some of the larger objects were probably also used as an emblem or a symbol of the importance of gardening in these people's way of life that was carried on as part of a larger system of exchange in which different materials were being traded back and forth between individuals. I am Bill Keegan. I am curator of Caribbean archaeology at the Florida Museum of Natural History.